Hey guys, Maria Menounos here. Before your favorite AfterBuzz TV after show begins, I'm so excited to tell you that my new cookbook is out. It's called The Every Girl's Guide to Cooking. It's the quickest, fastest, easiest, most amazing recipes for kitchen newbies and chefs alike. Please check out MariaMenounos.com for more info. Buzz you later.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing after shows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
AfterBuzzers, you have made it to the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills After Show. And we are entering the show with a little New York flair from theme in tonight's episode. I'm your host, Grant Rutter, and alongside me...
Fern Ronay here.
Hello, everybody. I'm Christy Olsen.
Ladies, you look good tonight. All of you look great.
Why, thank you.
I look like I'm ready for bed. A little bit like Yolanda. A little bit like Yolanda, which I want to get into in a minute. But I really enjoyed this episode. I thought there was a lot of stuff that happened in it. Not necessarily big storyline moving things, but there was a lot of different, you know, events and places they went. So more than the usual, I feel like. We're usually like in one or two things. It's like a dinner and then like a shopping or something. You know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah, like I have like a full page of notes. Like I feel like I have thoughts on the episode. Like things actually happened. Yeah. It was good.
And another thing in this episode, it seemed like every housewife was touched upon in some way. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
So we're going to get into all of that right now. So let's take a look at what happened in tonight's episode. Yolanda is getting ready to give a speech. And it's for the Global Lyme Alliance. We touched upon this last week. And she had this phone call with her husband. Basically, what I got out of that scene was like, yeah, just use the one you did like last year. That was good. Like, he just doesn't care, in my opinion.
He was checked out.
Well, I was wondering why he didn't know that she'd been working on this. He was like, oh, you've been working on this for 2 weeks? I was like, shouldn't you know that, hubby? And also yeah, about her exactly. Children, that she was nervous about it because her kids were going to be there. I thought that was a little odd, but really cute.
Yeah. Yes. It makes me a little sad for her. Like, doesn't she have anyone she can be vulnerable in front of?
Yeah,
oh,
that's true.
That's a good
little
point.
Bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like Kat, go ahead.
No problem.
Catherine is no longer vulnerable to missing lines at dinners and things like that. and Shade. And just in time for the reunion, Catherine, you get all your hearing. So she's, you know, everything seems to be with her. And, you know, she did, you know, tear up a little bit when she was able to hear. And it's like, you do, when you lose out on things, like, you know, if someone doesn't have perfect eyesight, like, you definitely miss out on things, but you just don't know any better. So I kind of, you know, I could understand her coming through and having that moment of like, wow, and finally. But again, like, you know, I'm surprised now she's handling it. This technology seems to have been around. So good for her.
Yeah, and I think they're just really trying to give us something to be sympathetic towards Catherine about and something to like her. Like, this was a very sort of endearing scene. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to cheer for her, like, oh, great, she can hear now. Totally. And I think that's very deliberate on the producer's part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it, like, lets us feel a little bit more for her, I guess, as a new lady.
She's not my favorite, but even in that moment, I was like, oh, like, thank God for her. She must have been suffering all these years, being the one who can't hear, screaming at everyone, like, the poor thing.
I know. Well, I mean, I do feel like she used it as a little bit of an excuse as to why she was loud at the dinner party. Like, you know, control yourself. Just don't blame it on the ear.
Right. No, blame the champagne, girl.
Yeah, there you go. Real Housewife blames it on the champagne. Well, and flash forward to a party at Camille's Malibu Mansion. I'm glad we get to see this before it was closed up. She had that estate sale like the week before Christmas, and that was the 1 week in 2015 I was not in LA. And I regret every minute that I couldn't go to that Malibu Mansion. I am still not over it, so when I see it, I immediately flash back to that. I could have been there.
Well, you know, I remember reading about that on TMZ, but I didn't realize that people could go and, like, go to the house and check the stuff out.
It was open to the public?
It was. Well, dang. I think it was open to... I got some type of thing in the mail about it.
He's like, I could have gotten in.
It was after. It was, like, late, and, you know, I was already back east, and, oh, damn.
Wow.
So, I mean, who knows what I would have even got. The only thing I could afford would be probably something odd and creepy, like, you know, like a collection of pens or something. You know what I mean? Like, what am I going to take from her house? I'd feel weird. And then I'd just be there, like, you know, snooping. So, nah, maybe it's best, Camille, maybe you just know that, you know, from afar. So, yeah. So, like, all this jewelry, thousands of dollars of jewelry and these big lit cases all over her backyard. I mean, that is, like, almost like that must be a woman's paradise, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the stuff seems majorly expensive. I mean, I know it was for charity, but I want to know what they bought. Nobody said, like, if anybody bought anything.
That's a good point. Well, and my thinking during that was, yes, the stuff is wildly expensive, but then adding that element to it where it's for charity, I'm like, why does anyone buy anything not for charity? You know, like, these ladies spend enormous amounts of money all the time. There should always be a charity party. Like, when they need a bag, like, the grocery store, whatever, like, they should be donating. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Yes. I mean, that's a big part of being a socialite, and that's what these women want us to believe.
I did think it was interesting how Camille said a lot of the money is being donated. Yes. It was just very offhanded, like, we don't know how much, and we're not sure that we care too much, but, you know, a lot of the money is going to be donated to wherever or whatever this thing's for. You know? I know that it's very dear to her heart, and this is very personal.
Oh, yes.
But that just kind of made me laugh a little bit. It's like, you know, what percentage of those proceeds? Give me a number,
$40,000 bracelet or something? What was it? Like, yeah, so what do you get for, like, what is it? What are we looking at? Like 50%?
Well, like, what's going?
What do you think the markup's like?
The markup must be incredible. Because, I mean, you know, it was a lot. So, who knows? But I'm giving my best dress to Camille at this. She looks amazing. I love her. I'm definitely, like, up her ass. But I think she looks great. So, that was my thing. And even I will say that I think Yolanda looks pretty good at this event as well. Mm-hmm. You know, later on, not so much. But we'll get there.
I always wonder when they do things for charity, if they spend like $300,000 to raise $100,000. You know what I mean? Like, why not just give all the money instead of having to throw extravagant events to show, like, look, we're good people. We do things for charity.
Exactly.
That's such
a good
point.
There's a point to that, because they had, you know, the people serving all the champagne and everything. They had brought these big light up jewelry cases with attendees and all this stuff, you know, kind of tending the cases. So, yeah, for the price point of that party alone, she could have just, like,
ran a check.
Yeah, and these events, like, why I work a lot of red carpets at events like these, and they always just seem to be more about self-importance and promotion than really anything else. Again, I know that this is dear to Camille's heart, but in general, it's easy to be super cynical about things like this in Hollywood.
Also, there's a price tag to getting the word out there, too. Mm-hmm. You know, like, spreading the word of this charity and women's cancer and things like that. So, you know, I guess that's the price you pay in Malibu to get the word out. But I love it. Nonetheless. So let's talk about how Rinna had a very uncomfortable moment entering this party, which is no fault of, it's just all fault of her own. Mm-hmm. Again, we had this conversation a few weeks ago. She was dreading seeing Yolanda after the comments about Munchausen's. Well, you know, if you said everything was on the up and up, you wouldn't have to worry. I don't talk about Fern, so I don't worry running into you.
I'm not worried.
So that's what I mean. So she's a little bit of a mess. And then she says that she just doesn't trust Yolanda, and it just kind of snowballs into this conversation of us versus them, and then there's the hug. What did you think of all this?
Well, I thought at first that Rinna was feeling bad because she was feeling guilty, like that she was going to apologize to Yolanda, or she had had some sort of epiphany where she knew that she was in the wrong, and that's why she was so uncomfortable. And then she started talking, and I was like, oh, no, she's being ridiculous. And she was, like, basically asking for an apology. Mm-hmm. Wait, did you read it the same way?
Completely. I thought she was going to apologize for talking about the way she talked about her on the beach with Yolanda. I mean, like, or with Eileen, and being like, you're going to see this eventually. And once again, I'm sorry. But it was, she was angry that she had lunch during the day and then didn't go to Erica's party. That's not your issue. That's none of your business. If anybody should be mad, it should be Erica. And she's not mad, so shut up about it.
Exactly. Even Erica said, I'm okay with it. So it's like, let it go. This reminds me of a storyline in The Real Housewives of Cheshire, when one woman who was really, you know, could have had a real issue, didn't, but her friend did.
Right.
And then that was like a huge storyline. It was like, but the woman who should be upset isn't. Like, forget it. So just play, you know, Real Housewives of Cheshire, folks. You know who I'm talking about.
Well, but and with Rinna, like, I wonder if it ends up kind of being more about Kim to her. Like, she just she couldn't get over the picture, and she was so mad about it. And it's like, you're mad about your issues with Kim, which you should get over too. Oh, but this isn't, like, don't bring someone into it that's not even a part of it.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's so true.
Well, Kim may not be a part of it, but she was brought up a couple times in this episode. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so let's talk about how now Lisa Rinna is super upset that she can't make comments about someone who's sick. So she's like pulling up this double standard type deal, like, because they're sick, I can't say anything bad about them. And it's like, basically that's what she said.
Mm-hmm. So that's exactly what she said.
She said, yeah, you can get away with anything when you're sick. Mm-hmm. Well, you should be lucky that you're healthy and keep your mouth shut.
Yep.
Yeah, she said you can't tell them the truth. It's
Oh my god, are you
trying to tell someone the truth, or are you just trying to, like, create an issue and bring someone down? Like, that's a little bit different than just telling them the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, and Yolanda told Lisa Rinna this, it's none of your business. For some reason, that should really be a chopping off point of being like, okay, I'm out of this. But that doesn't compute with Lisa Rinna at any point. She does not get that, like, okay, maybe I should, like, you know, I've done my part, I've said how I feel, you know, we're just not on the same page, I don't trust her, and then Yolanda doesn't trust Rinna, so just, that's it. Like, it should be that simple, but no.
No, of course not. I feel like Rinna, I feel like Rinna's so over the top this season. She's so harsh, like, the way she talked about Kim, she's dangerous, and the way she's like, you can get away with anything.
Now she's
sick.
Enraged about the photo.
I think
she's
it all
like
goes
over the top.
This goes back to my whole thing about life. With people who create problems, I think a lot of people, for the most part, create their own problems because they just don't have enough to do. Mm-hmm. You know? And I'm not saying that she's not working and she, you know, we saw her QVC. I believe it was QVC that she does.
Yeah.
But, so, like, she's doing stuff, but if you had a lot going on and you work 18 hours, like Lisa Vanderpump wants us to believe, then you really will just be like, I don't have time for this. That's, you know, up to Yolanda. That's her health problem. Like, whatever. Like, we'll be cool. I don't need to figure everything out. I don't need to be at the bottom of everyone's business. You know, just, it's like, people create all their own problems. Now she's like, oh, she's going to ruin her trip to Dubai. Mm-hmm. Worried about this. Mm-hmm. And it's like, just enjoy herself. You don't see Eileen losing sleep over Vanderpump.
Right. Mm-hmm. She's acting like a teenage mean girl.
Yeah.
Remember when Aaron Samuels was like, oh, they just make up rumors because they're bored with their own lame lives.
Well,
this is some teenage girl BS is what this is.
Yes, yes.
Not nice.
It's true of all ages.
Mm-hmm.
So we learn about this Yulin festival. And Christy, you talked about this. You kind of touched upon this at the beginning of the year. You know, you told our listeners not to Google it because it could be, it's quite graphic, folks. Mm-hmm. And even stuff that led up to this this walk or whatever they were doing, there was a lot of images to try to show the power of, you know, how bad it is and what we should do about it. So it's torture and then consumption of dogs. I mean, it's just like the worst thing. And it's like, it's, I don't know how anyone could wrap their mind around it. But anyway, Lisa Vanderpump, as the dog activist of the show, she is putting together this march. And she bonds with Catherine over it. And it seems that they're kind of like seeing eye to eye. You know, they might team up at the reunion. There's a prediction.
Oh,
I like that.
I think Lisa Vanderpump likes her because she's new. She hasn't found, like, a real reason to hate her yet. And she's kind of kissing her ass. She said as
a
much.
A little bit, yeah.
So I think that's the dynamic.
Well, I thought it was very interesting that we saw Lisa shed a few tears, Vanderpump. She really got emotional about this, and we don't see that very often.
That's true.
And not surprising that this is what did it, but I was like, oh, she's crying. LVP is crying.
I know. It was,
that's true.
Yep, she was shaken by it. She really was. So before we get to the actual march, there was this discussion at the dinner, Malibu Club or something like that. And Kyle drops
Wait, I'm sorry, Grant. I have to know what you thought of that place.
Well, I would go there.
Okay, all right. Yeah, the approval.
Yes. No, I thought it was actually really nice. And it was almost like, because it was funny because Vanderpump walked in, she says she's going to Pump afterwards, and it was almost like a larger scale version of Pump because they had, you know, the lights and the trees and the big things and all that. So perhaps that was part of it. Really quickly, would you mind discussing a little bit of what happened at the march? I'm going to look up our live read. Okay, great.
I got it. Good to go.
Great, thank you. Because
I just did this on my last show.
Well, thank you. Before we talk about the march and we talk about this Dubai trip, which is what I was leading to, you know, I love how it's like, this is all planned. Like, these women have to have time off their schedule. Eileen works like 9 days a week.
Right.
Like, so it's like, it's like, you know, it's like silly to be like, I'm thinking we should go to Dubai. Like, that's has to be pre-set up. It right. has to be, especially when you're working in production.
Oh, yeah.
You know, completely. You have to book the hotel and all that. And apparently the Real Housewives of Melbourne were there taping at the same time as Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, but they didn't let them have any crossover. Hmm. For some reason, Bravo keeps the international ladies at arm's length, and I do not like that because it's still on Bravo, just because it's not owned by Bravo or whatever. Like, it's still part of the world. I mean, I love me some Cheshire Housewives. So I'll take a look at this.
I'm going to have to pick that up. Well, if you guys are looking for a new show to pick up, are you curious about a celebrity boyfriend's midlife crisis? Enjoy hearing stories about behind the scenes of Hollywood, amused by old TV and movie references? I know we all are.
Yes.
Then you will love The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro. Join AfterBuzz creator and Maria Menounos' fiancé, Kevin Undergaro, along with AfterBuzz co-hosts Roxy Stryer, Ashley Daniels, and some other fantastic folks for all the insanity. You can watch live Monday and Thursday nights. This is 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific time on thetomorrowshow.com, or make sure you subscribe on iTunes. It is downloaded for free because that's how we do it around here.
Go
to tomorrowshow.com thetomorrowshow.com for more information. Check it out.
There you go. Thank you, Christy.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes. Well, when you're not watching The Tomorrow Show here on AfterBuzz, you can check out everything going on here with this show. I mean, where am I going with this? I'm just looking at my notes here.
Oh, so Eileen, so we learned that the ladies can't come or maybe don't want to come.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Do they pay for their own trips? Kyle said that once in an interview.
I doubt it. Because
I doubt it.
That fool, what's her name? Nene Leakes.
I should have known that's who you meant when you said that fool, Grant.
Yes. She says that her thing that she misses the most about the Housewives of the trip. So I don't think she's paying for those, because I would have missed, you know, a big bill for a 14-hour flight to Dubai.
Right.
But I have to say, like, it takes me forever to fly home, like 12, 13 hours. So I could easily do a flight to Dubai.
Yeah.
Especially if it's on like a really nice airline. You know, now they have like bars in the middle. You can get up and stretch your legs. Like, oof, that's nothing. They're all worried, like, oh, it's across the world. But I'm like, that sounds great. Like, I would love to go to Dubai.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a lot of a friend of mine went recently. I saw some pictures of him. It looks wonderful.
Looks amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it looks like something you have to experience once, at least. So, but yeah, before we get to all that, Eileen is back at the table referencing the manipulation of Lisa Vanderpump. And then Rina brings up that
it's directional.
Yeah. Which it kind of is, though, because the way they described Lisa Rinna sets them up to get in their heads. It happens. And that is manipulative, though.
Mm-hmm. Lisa Vanderpump, yes.
It is to do that.
They did it right there in front of all their faces.
Yeah.
They directed it back to Lisa Rinna.
Yep, and then Kim, of course, made her appearance without even being on the show. And, you know, they deflected to the I love you comment, what happened in Amsterdam. And I was always like, wow, that's kind of reaching.
Oh, yeah. It was reaching far.
Yeah. But I'm like, okay. Lisa Vanderpump has asked Lisa Rinna why she's not bothered. Huh? What is this
now? I know, but that's it. You know what? I got lost a little bit too, and I think it's just because it was so ridiculous. It wasn't that we weren't understanding. I think it just wasn't to be understood. Does that make sense?
I got the impression that Lisa Vanderpump was like, make a bigger deal about it for the show.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Because we're referencing the bipolar comment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't read my full thought. Yes.
Yeah.
So it was about like, well, you know what? Like, yeah. Oh, someone's talking about you. Why aren't you more upset?
Right. Like,
who does that? That's not a real friend. That's a hater in a disguise.
Uh-huh. That's someone trying to make the show more interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's very shifty. I've had friends like that in the past, and I don't have them anymore because I feel like, you know, that's not like you're not keeping my interest, my best interest. You're acting like you're my best interest, but you're trying to light a fire.
Mm-hmm. Oh, completely. Rude. A true friend would be like, let's forget about that comment. That's not you. And Yeah. Never talk about it again.
Yeah, that
it's
was
so
bad.
Ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I think LVP and Kyle are getting very confident at this point in the series. I think they're starting to feel untouchable. They realize that teaming together has worked well for them. And it sounds like they're doing a lot behind the scenes together. Like, oh, aren't we cute? Mm-hmm. You know, we're sending photos back and forth of Yolanda, allegedly. And even in this episode, it was they were talking crap about, oh, now they're going to kiss and this and that. I was like, I think they're feeling pretty good about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And, their little... what would you call it? A mean girl alliance. Yes. Yes.
Well, instead of staying neutral, Kyle had to jump in, and she had to point the finger at Rinna, saying that she was what?
She was a follower.
Mm-hmm. Now, this was something that Kyle did not have to have any involvement with at all. She wasn't in that conversation. It was about, it went from Eileen, Lisa Vanderpump, to Rinna.
Mm-hmm.
And Kim.
Mm-hmm.
So this wasn't anything in defense of Kim. This had nothing to do with Kyle, but that she's gonna go. And that, you know, that goes back to, is Kyle a mean girl or not? And that's been a recurring theme on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Just like to keep that going, because it's true. I mean, I'm not saying she's a mean girl, but maybe she is, maybe she isn't, but that's a common thing on the show.
Mm-hmm. It was
I like
very,
that it keeps going.
Yeah. But it was an observation that is true. I think when it comes to Lisa Vanderpump, Lisa Rinna is a follower. She's a people pleaser. She doesn't want to piss her off. She likes her for some reason and wants to be in her good graces.
Yeah, and you know, Lisa Rinna, she's not stirring up any of her own stuff. No one's coming to her like, why did you this or that? It's all about the other things that are going on with the other housewives and what she thinks about and how she feels about it and how she feels about Yolanda being sick. And you know what I mean? Like, she's not really creating any of her own drama.
Exactly.
Right.
For the past two seasons, it's been about everybody else.
Yeah. See, I want to be a little bit easier on Rinna, though, because I do feel like she's being paid to do this. This is her job. I feel like she takes the show very seriously. I still think that she has a great position on the show. I think it really works having her on. Now, like, whether you love her or hate her is one thing, but yeah, I mean, I'm gonna give her some credit. I mean, she's getting paid to do a certain job. As my grandmother says, they're paid to be bitches. So who knows. On that note, let's do some cheers and jeers. We haven't done this in a minute, but I want to point out as well as the panelists, some highs and lows and things that kind of stuck out to us in this episode. I guess I'll go first. My cheers go to a quote by Camille Grammer that she says, I just love Tahnician pearls. And I'm like, it was classic Camille. It reminded me of like, just really trying to be over the top and braggadocious, but in a very like, the smooth way. That she could just say, oh, they're beautiful pearls. She loves Tahitian pearls.
Right.
It's just even better. So Camille, I'll take what I can get. I love it. Love it. And now I'm gonna switch it up. My jeers go to Yolanda's outfit in New York. Men were probably in $1,000 suits. Everyone was dressed this beautiful penthouse with a view of the city. And she, I mean, it didn't appear that she was wearing a bra. She was wearing like sweatpants that you would probably, like loungewear.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like, you know, if you're, you know, a night on the town in New York, I mean, you know, Erica walked in like a bombshell. So I just feel like, you know, make a little bit more of an effort. I'm not harping on her looks. I just think the outfit choice was lousy for New York. Just saying.
Yeah, and you think when she's getting out on the town with the hubby for the
finally.
First time in a long time, that she would have loved to put on a fancy dress or
celebrate.
Something. So I was surprised to see that
celebrate.
As well.
Celebrate, yes. Yeah. So those are my cheers and jeers. Fern, what are you feeling and what are you not feeling?
My cheers are to my New York City. It was so, I love it. I spent a long time there. I met my husband there. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times for a lot of reasons. But it was just great to see New York. And my jeers are, what did they buy at Camille's? Like, I hate when I have follow-up questions.
Yeah.
I want to know if someone bought something, what they bought.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like if that was another city, they'd, like, say, like, what the price tag and stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
And they would say, like, oh, Lisa ended up buying this whatever. Mm-hmm. But I bet none of them bought
anything. Mauricio bought earrings for everyone.
Yeah.
I was going to say, did he really buy something for Eileen?
I doubt it. I feel like they would show that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If they're as rich as, you know, this is supposed to be Beverly Hills. Like, show us something.
Mm-hmm.
Some extravagant spending.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, I'm actually going to give Yolanda my cheers for her new haircut she was sporting at the beginning of the episode.
Good one.
I thought it looked great. It felt like new woman, new me, and I'm doing this with new hair, and it's so hard to pull off short hair.
Mm-hmm.
I tried a year and a half ago. You guys probably remember. It's terrible. She
no,
pulls it off. She looks gorgeous. Thank you. But I just loved it, and and she seemed to carry it with a new confidence. Yeah. So cheers to that. My jeers go to, maybe you guys noticed, Miss Gretchen Rossi holding one of her little chihuahuas at the Human Festival. She was standing right up front with Lisa and Kyle and all the other girls, and they straight up ignored her. So my jeers are not for Gretchen. Good for you for being there, Gretchen. My jeers are to the producers. Yes.
Good catch.
You know. I mean, at the beginning of the episode, they were showing Camille without any anchor. Like, no, because you just know who she is. They flash up her name. Camille's house. Like, we know Gretchen. Say it's Gretchen true. Rossi. Yes. You know what
it's
I mean?
It's true. That is true. And I would argue that they don't want crossover, but we saw enough of Bethany Frankel to last us a long time.
Exactly.
So, I mean, just because she's off the show, Gretchen actually is one, I would say, one of the more well-known former housewives. She has a very big presence in the housewife community online and in her own life. I mean, love her or hate her, she's there.
Oh, yeah.
She hasn't really faded away like some others. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that would have been a good catch. And people... Not everybody hates her. People would probably like to see her support.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, that
good,
was
catch.
Wrong. Good catch.
I like it. That's a true jeer. All right, let's get back to what's going on over here. Eileen says that she is excited and yet she is trepidatious as she prepares for Dubai. And I think she's got the least skin in the game to worry about heading in to Dubai. I think she could just go sit by the pool and enjoy herself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Forget any apology. It's not coming. That is just her. That is Lisa Vanderpump's way to deflect. You're not going to change her. Go by the pool and grab a nice drink. That's my advice for you.
And if you're going to spend thousands of dollars on luggage... Maybe Catherine should school her. It should be some Louis Vuitton or something.
Oh.
I mean, I don't have thousands of dollars to spend on luggage, so I don't know. But I feel like if I did, it would be better than like some like eggshell colored plastic stuff.
Yeah.
Like, just saying.
Well, I admire Eileen for not being at all shallow and owning what she's got. Remember, she told Lisa Vanderpump at the reunion that she drives a Ford, right?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, you know, good for her. She doesn't feel the pressure, but... I wonder, though, especially after this season, she's already updating the house, so it's like, is she falling into that space with trying to get an upgrade? And I wouldn't fault her for it.
Well, and she also just needed a day off instead of going, you know, so she's working that. I'm a working housewife. I 18 hours, you know. We know that she actually does.
She does,
but she sounded a little LVP there. LVP-ish.
I gave her a pass. I did.
On the needing the day off?
Yeah.
Because sometimes
even
I feel like...
the dogs?
I know.
It was hard. It was hard.
It was hard because we all had those days where we were like, I just need a day to do what I need to do and not work, and I'm drained, and I have no better excuse. I just need a day to myself.
Yeah.
But then I was like, oh, for the dogs, like, just push it a little harder. So I don't know what the right answer was. I was just like, I didn't know. I didn't know whose side to be on for that one.
Right.
Well, and Rinna said she couldn't drive herself or something.
Oh, yeah, that was a horrible
driver. I mean, Uber, Lyft, taxi, if they still make those.
Seriously.
That's because
a terrible excuse.
That's because people don't like to drive in downtown LA. And I kind of would probably make a similar excuse.
Oh,
but
for
Uber
sure.
For the dogs.
I for sure would, and then I would take a Lyft.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, have a glass of wine before you leave the house.
Yeah.
There you go.
Thank God.
If you're going to Lyft it, make it worth it.
Yes, thank God for Lyft and Uber and... And
she's
Lisa Rinna, like, get a car.
I know. I mean, exactly. I mean, why don't they do a black car? They do black cars for everything else on the show. Just call up a car service.
You can order a black
car service.
And there you go. From the comfort of your own home, just like Blue Apron. Anyway, they're going to throw that out there. Erica says very nonchalantly, very to the point. She says, Eileen wants LVP to apologize, but LVP doesn't feel that she hurt Eileen's feelings. So there's not going to be an apology. Very straightforward. I like someone that can just cut through it real quick and in a very simple statement, get it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I like Erica.
Yeah.
She doesn't need to get involved. You can tell she was annoyed by the question. You can tell she was like, no, they're not gonna be an apology. It's done. I like it.
And it was very accurate.
Yes.
Yeah,
Rinna is deemed the scapegoat by herself. She's reading another dictionary post.
Oh.
She, you know, she loves her evidence and her references. So, so she is now considered the scapegoat of the Real Housewives.
But see,
how?
She's got that dictionary.com app on her phone.
She must.
You know, Uber. Uber girl.
Yes, I know. This is
enough
space.
It's one thing to know what the word means, but how she's applying, like, how is she the scapegoat? How does she think she's the scapegoat?
Because people fault her for things that she didn't have anything to do with. I think that's kind of what
she was
saying.
Was defining the word deflect, and so read that definition and then decided that she was the scapegoat, right?
Yeah. I love when a housewife has to do, like, some reading from the phone, some references, some old texts, evidence at reunions. I love all that stuff. Because it's like, really? This is when you know that you really don't have anything to do. Just saying. But, you know, she's going to defend herself on camera, and as would I, just to be fair. But New York City, Erica mentioned that she was not allowed to buy jewelry. Did you catch that?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah, and I read it as, well, if you buy yourself the jewelry, then what am I supposed to get you for a gift?
Right.
So just let me buy the jewelry, and he probably never gets her anything else but jewelry, which is fine.
Did he buy her the blank necklace?
Oh, good question.
Now, ladies, you're both married. What is the jewelry scenario in your household? How does that go?
What jewelry, Brad?
Well,
no, you know what? I specifically remember getting a few pieces before we were even married, and I don't think I've gotten any since then.
Me neither.
But you could go out. You would have to ask permission if you were felt so inclined to buy a piece.
Right.
Like, if I wanted costume jewelry, like, that jewelry I buy myself, but if I wanted something really nice, I just don't want anything really nice. Yeah. Maybe I would consult him.
Yeah.
He's got good taste, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I took the Erica comment as that's how he pampers her. Like, she was like, I'm not allowed to buy jewelry because he buys it for me because I'm his princess. Mm. That's what I took it as.
Well, what did she do at Camille's party then?
Sent his secretary lots of pictures.
I guess, yeah.
P.S. asterisk, this is for charity. You can write it off, honey.
And as if Kyle didn't already have enough, she was eyeing those diamonds and jewelry and that penthouse, which was just odd. All this stuff on the wall and these, like, it looked like aquariums of jewelry. It was an odd place, but beautiful nonetheless.
Yeah, like, I get the promotion between the jewelry store and the hotel and the whatever, but, you know.
Mm-hmm. So there was a toast. David toast Yolanda, and they wanted to burn the robe, and then Yolanda said, like, she was so grateful to have everyone there. But then, let's cut to the chase. There was some audio picked up between Tom and David, which was really interesting. Basically, as you know, it all came down to, you know, how's that going to happen? How are things going to come back to normal?
Mm-hmm.
And you could just hear the frustration in David's voice, and I don't think his men knew they were being recorded.
No, which I never understand. How do you not know you're being... Like, he's obviously mic'd, right?
It sounded like maybe only one of them was mic'd and the other one was close enough to pick it up.
Okay.
Well, David would have been mic'd.
Like, but they should have both been mic'd.
Yeah, well, David definitely would have been because he was there with toasting and with Yolanda. We didn't hear
Unless
Tom.
This was a boom situation because it was a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know
usually
what I mean?
They always have a boom just as a backup, don't they?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So maybe they didn't
that
have a mic on,
true.
But this got caught by the boom?
Was it Tom
Girardi?
A boom
is a big mic that hangs
there
in the middle of everyone's face off camera, just FYI.
I think it was another man, that
guy,
like,
named Tom.
Purple jacket, yeah, I don't know. But yeah, another guy, I guess, named Tom, yeah. Because that's what it said at the bottom of the screen, so I thought it was Tom Girardi too until you mentioned that. Mm-hmm.
So what is the problem? Why does David think that now that Yolanda's feeling better that they can't go back to normal?
He has, like, no hope. He's such a giver-upper.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, time to move on to the next one.
Exactly. I mean, he's done by that point.
Yeah, it's horrible. Have a little hope.
Right. I don't know. Didn't look good for you. Anyway, let's take a look at some news and gossip real quick. Christy, what do you have?
Well, I have reunion spoilers, people.
Ooh.
Turn off right now if you don't want to hear this. This one went from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m.
This is
going to
be intense.
All the housewives were there, plus Kim Richards. Yolanda sat in the whole time. Remember last year she could only be there for a few hours because she was tired and sick. Brandi Glanville appeared in a pre-taped segment, so you'll see a little bit from her. Rinna and Kim hashed it out. Kim eventually was crying, and Rinna ultimately apologized to Kim Richards, so that's a big one.
Ooh.
There were a few walk-offs. Like, more than one or two, a few walk-offs. Andy really pushed Yolanda on the reason for the divorce, supposedly, and she cried, but she didn't really make any revelations. And then Erica kind of said, hey, you know, Andy, let's move on, please. And after it was all said and done, Lisa Vanderpump and Ken, Kyle, Catherine, and Donnie went to pump for drinks. Mm. So apparently they ended the situation okay. Mm-hmm. And just a little tidbit from last week, Yolanda has clarified that last week when Eric invited her to the dinner, she had already committed to that brunch with Brandy and Kim, and it was for Kim's birthday, and she didn't go to sleep after that, but that she just couldn't get it together for dinner, and that Eric understood, and that's okay. And comes some big Catherine news. Maybe she is hearing all of our our jeers and criticisms, because she deleted all of her social media after or during last week's episode. So she is social media free, allegedly because of some of the backlash that she was getting. And one more little thing about season three star, you guys remember Marissa Zanuck?
Yeah.
She's the one who said that her husband's just not her type. Yeah, well, they're getting divorced. So he's, you remember, he's a big time TV producer from like a big old school Hollywood family. They've got two kids, 11 and 13, and she just filed last week.
Aww.
So
interesting. A blast from Housewives Past.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The good old days of the show, I think. Not that it's bad now, but those days with the $25,000 glasses and all that, and Camille and at the helm. Yeah, those are some good times.
Yeah.
But no doubt more times are coming, because we have to take a look and predict Dubai.
Yeah.
I predict that Lisa Rinna is going to have a terrible time.
Now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I think Lisa Rinna is going to have a tough time, because she's going to ruin it for herself.
Yeah.
She's going to engage in all these conversations because Yolanda's not going to be there, so she can feel free to talk to everybody about Yolanda and that situation. And I feel like they'll have words at the reunion. This is my prediction, not at the reunion, at the finale, when she says, "You're more manipulative than Lisa Vanderpump." But I feel like that will be the big, like, finale shocker. That's what I think. Those are my predictions with Rinna. So who knows?
I don't even know what to predict.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking
too. Dubai's going to be magnificent looking. You're totally right about Lisa Rinna.
What about Brandy? She's coming back for a bit.
Oh, yeah. She's going to be her typical aunt. She's mad now. She is mad, and that they've been talking about her. And now when she hears that the ladies are angry that Yolanda was hanging out with her, you know, she's all about this real friend stuff. And she knew what she was doing when she posted that on social media. And now she's going to get her chance to really make that fester. And she's going to do it. She's going to hit somebody hard.
There you go. Well,
good prediction. I ditto both of you. Good ones.
Sounds good. Well, you can keep the conversation with us going as you like to in the comments below. Please give us a thumbs up. There's no reason for a thumbs down. So this is free content, people, after all. You can continue to support us and our projects. And you can follow Christy Olsen.
Yes, please follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Christy Reports. And also stay tuned to AfterBuzz TV at 11 o'clock Pacific time. We're going on live for E's brand new docuseries, LA Clippers Dance Squad, for the after show. Oh. And I did have some of the ladies in the studio today, so make sure you check that out as well.
Nice. This is Fern Ronay. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Fern Ronay. And my novel finally has a release date. Yay! April 26th.
Yes.
You can buy Better in the Morning, the story of a single 29-year-old Manhattan lawyer who is guided in her dreams by her dead Italian grandparents. So follow me for release information and the link to Amazon. Thank you.
All right.
April 26th, people, write that down.
Yay!
And you guys can check me out on my podcast, Grant's Rants Hollywood Talk. A new episode went up today. A lot of stuff. I even talked a little politics. Ooh. You can also check out, please subscribe to my YouTube channel as well for the bonus content over there. There's always something to rant about. So that'll do it for us for the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.